Chapter 7. Harry's fondness for firearms started early. The world he was born into had become militarized by the time he was old enough to wonder what a sidearm was. Everyone in Eastward had weapons, big guns, little guns, automatic everything, as a way of protecting themselves, preparing themselves, for the invasion they were told was coming any day, though no one could say when. They were also informed that control could disable their arsenals with the proverbial and literal flip of a switch. While the citizenry was allowed to act as a standing army in waiting, they would never be permitted to turn on control itself. They were soldiers, each and every one, from the oldest residents, who could remember a time before their world collapsed in on itself, like a star that had come to its end, to the youngest, most innocent child that had yet to be schooled in the ways of survival. Control knows what is true and what is not. Control knows what is legal and what is not. Control is entitled to every mind and body. Control, and only control, can protect their fragile world, a reality both manufactured and defended by control. Harry had a curiosity his twin brother Elliot did not possess. Harry was still a boy when he realized that he would always question things, even if he left his questions unasked as a means of self-preservation, while Elliot would not question anything. If Elliot had been told by their masters, and Harry came to consider their handlers nothing less, to climb onto the balcony of their parents' high-rise apartment and leap to his death as their father had, praising control through every inch of the fall, he would do that. Elliot was a good boy, who became a man without conscience, who became a supremely effective killing machine. Harry, on the other hand, played the role that was expected of him, but always kept his other side, his real self, hidden from view. He learned very young that the truth of who one was could invite scrutiny, if not outright rejection. Harry had his likes and he had his survival instincts. One required the other to be kept secret, at least until Harry was prepared to reveal them. Harry liked guns. Harry liked the steady stream of violent images they were fed as children, from artificial reality games to movies that had been stored in digital archives. Boys, especially, were encouraged to develop ruthless tendencies. For the coming war, the inevitable invasion. Harry and Elliot needed very little prodding, both of them taking to the use of force like pythons to their prey. Elliot because he came to enjoy it and Harry because it was part of his nature. His nature. It was also part of young Harry's nature to find other young men attractive. Even in such late times as these, being same-sex attracted was uncommon enough to present problems. There were no names for it anymore. Not a clinical name. Not the name of an identity. It's just who one was. But biases still existed. As they will always exist. Being of a deeply curious mind, Harry believed much of this unease was biological, genetic, hardwired into every creature that must identify those unlike itself as a means of protection. Race did not really exist, except as a social construct, but a reaction to someone of a different race was unavoidable for most people. It was a mechanism of the lizard brain that was triggered when someone who looked different came into view. The lizard asks itself, is this friend or foe? And responds accordingly. So too, when one announces one is sexually attracted to others of the same sex, fear and prejudice could, and always would, be a possible outcome. So Harry waited. He did not tell anyone, including Elliot, that he liked other males as more than friends. The time would come when he would tell it plainly, as if he were announcing a change in clothing, and he would not care how they reacted. If it bothered them, let it bother them. If it made them smile, let it make them smile. If it prompted them to attack him, he would leave them dead. Easy peasy, as his mother had often said when she'd finished something simple. It was how he eventually felt, as he and Elliot trained to become the most efficient hunters control had available to them. Easy peasy, another dead criminal, another dead enemy. Easy peasy, bloody beasy, yes sir reasy. The cost of it all, which Harry would pay later, was the numbing of his soul, if it could be said he had one. By the time the men showed up at their door one October morning, Harry and Elliot had already spent their earliest years being familiarized with their father's guns, for Joshua Hellerman had had very little trouble transitioning from a wildly successful financial manager, when there were still fortunes to manage, to being an armed paranoiac. He, and to a lesser extent their mother, had blamed the destruction of their world on the very people they were determined to keep out now, the denizens of the ruins and the slopes. They were the problem. They were the reason everything had taken such an apocalyptic turn toward destruction. Thank control, for no one thanked God anymore for taking such sudden, firm, and complete dominion over Eastward. Had they not acted quickly, the Hellermans and everyone else in Eastward could be dead or worse. What's worse than dead? Harry had asked. He was no more than 8 at the time. Voided, his father replied, while he cleaned one of his 12 guns, a semi-automatic 9mm with nickel plating, one of Joshua's favorites. What's voided? Harry replied. He was sitting cross-legged on the floor by his father's feet, wiping residue off the disassembled gun barrel with an oilcloth. It's when they hollow out your brain.
Ew.
Not literally, boy. They erase your thoughts, your memories, all of it, and they turn you into servants. Like a housekeeper or a butler or something. Joshua looked down at him a moment, probably wondering how Harry knew what a butler was. Like a drone, his father said. A mindless drone that does whatever they want you to. Harry thought it was a very good description of control, but he said nothing. That's what will happen to all of us if we don't stay vigilant, Harry. We have to always be prepared, to always practice, and anticipate. Harry had been anticipating one thing or another his entire short life, but he did not anticipate the men coming for them a few years later, led by the one named Axel. He did not anticipate their uniforms, which were unique among the uniforms worn by Control. Darker, starker, more severe. He did not anticipate being taken away with his brother, or saying goodbye to his parents, not knowing if it would be the last time they said it. The only thing about it he anticipated was becoming who he did. Harry Hell, the lethal version of himself. He knew it was part of him, a big part of him, and they knew it too.